It's probably only those children that sometimes look up to their dad and say, oh, he's the best dad, despite really what their dads are like. Now, we're going to talk about dads this morning. And so when we mention the word father, I guess that brings all sorts of thoughts to mind. And unfortunately, and as Kay's already alluded today, sometimes it's not good because we've lost our father, or our father's left the house and left our home and we haven't seen him for years. So somewhere along that, our feelings about our father today would be either sad and hopefully happy. There's other feelings that come to mind. Maybe we have feelings of hate for our father, but hopefully we have feelings of love. So somewhere along those, maybe you disdain your father or you respect your father. Sometimes we're sorry about our father, or we're thankful. Hopefully we're thankful and there's regret. So for those of us today that have those left side feelings, you know, maybe you want to share that with someone later, but today I want to focus on the positive things about fathers. So where does your father fit in the scale of things? Now, I know a lot of people here today don't have a father around anymore, but where would your father fit in, the worst or the best father? I want to talk about four fathers that I have in my life, and I've put three pictures up there. And it's good to think about your father, and I don't want you to think about my fathers today. I want you to think about your father and what sort of impact he's had on their life. The first father is my natural father, Murray. And some of the people in the church here would know Murray. Murray was a very strong Christian, committed to this church, committed to his faith in God. And he came here many years. And he taught me a lot of things. And as the other fathers spoke this morning, what do we learn from our fathers? Well, Dad taught me a lot of practical things. He was a very fine man for building things and inventing things and making things out of steel. So as a child, we learned a lot of things about that. Dad taught me to be committed to my Christian faith, to the church. And I think that's rubbed off on me personally. And that's a positive thing that Dad taught me. On the other side, I got two brothers and a sister. One of my brothers and one of my sisters will not have anything to do with church these days. Now, that's sad. But when I think about my father, he was often so committed to his faith and to doing things for the church that I think he neglected his children. And I can't really think of a time that I spent a lot of time with Dad over those years, which is really sad. So, but there's a lot of good things that he brought into my life, and I'm really thankful that he was my father. Sorry, I'm getting a bit... Yeah, the second father there is Barbara's dad, my father-in-law. He was a man, again, who had a strong faith and had a commitment to his faith and to the church that he was involved with. He was a very quiet man. He was a farmer. He had to take over the family farm at a young age. His own father died. I think it was about 14 or something, was it? He became a farmer at the age of 14. He had to take over the farm. He had brothers, and he had to take the role of looking after the farm and doing all that. But he was a very quiet man, and it was pretty hard to get a good word out of him. When he's passed away. All these guys have passed away. When I used to go up there as a son-in-law, used to help him on the farm, he didn't say a lot. He used to just follow him around, try and help him. But I do remember the times when we were up in the paddock and we're trying to do something with the sheep, and the sheepdog was misbehaving, and boy, some colourful words came out of his mouth when the sheepdog wasn't doing what he wanted him to do. And I'm sure Barb would remember some of the things her father used to say to the sheepdog or to the sheep when they weren't doing things, but he was a very loving and good father. I'd like to contrast Frank with perhaps my dad. He had five children, and to the best of my knowledge, all those five children now are committed Christians and going on. So I'm not sure what the difference was there. I don't know whether it's God's working in their kids' life and that. Frank was different, that's it. The other good thing about Frank was, being on a farm, he wasn't very outgoing, but he made a commitment to missionaries and supporting and writing letters to missionaries that went on through his life and to his wife, who is now still alive. And I admired that in him. Every Sunday afternoon they used to write the missionaries and give money to missionaries. And it's interesting you come across people that know Frank and the oldest because of that. So that's a good legacy for him. The third person I want to talk about this morning is a man called R.L. And he is a, became a father in my life when at the age of about 20, I decided to go to Sydney to live and to study. So I moved from Melbourne and I was looking for somewhere to live. And R.L. and his wife, Mrs. Beck, had been led by God to open a house in Sydney to take in boys, young men, who had come to Sydney to study or to work. And they opened this, was called a hostel, young men's hostel, a boarding house, and they were the parents. And he was the, and R.L. was the guy that, and his wife, that ran the house while I was there for 4 years. And he had a big impact on my life. R.L. gave a big part of his life to the boys that came and lived with him. There was up to 15 or 16 boys at some time, young men. Not all of them were, some of them weren't Christian. Most of them were Christian. But R.L. as a Christian gave of his own time and effort to look after those guys. And he used to get up every morning and cook breakfast for the boys that wanted a hot breakfast. To lay out the food for lunch, the boys to make lunch for themselves. And every evening he and his wife would cook a meal. And basically, and then after the meal they'd open the word and the boys there would have a devotion with him. So he had a great impact on my life. he passed away. I remember saying goodbye to him and thinking that this guy was one guy in my life that reflected Jesus. He lived out Jesus. And I think, I think Barbara would agree with that when we, So my 4 days. So what makes a good father? What makes the best dad? We're talking about the best dad today. Those three guys weren't necessarily the best dad, but they just certainly made an impact on my life. What makes a good dad? What makes the best dad? So there's a lot of things you heard in some of those videos. Loves are very important. listening to your children. I think that last video probably brought out 4 or 5 that were the main ones. Providing security for your children. Having your children be able to trust you, to protect you, to teach you, to encourage you, to discipline you. Now that's a hard one, isn't it? Sometimes you have to discipline your kids. That's one of the probably the difficult things is being a father. And of course, giving your time to the children. So again, let's just consider where we are and what your father is, where we fit in the father scale, worst or best father. So as a Christian father, we have, we're lucky in a way, we have extra resources to help us with fatherhood. I know I'm not a perfect father, and I don't know where I fit on that best or worst scale, but I know that we can trust in God and God can give us some of those characteristics that really help us to be a father. So I want to encourage you this morning to think about that, to try and draw on that. We know in Galatians 5 we've got the fruits of the Spirit and some of those things really help us. And they're all listed there. Now, some of those are really helpful as fathers, certainly love. I remember love is probably one of the easiest things as a father to have. I remember one of my sons when he was born, I was kind of looking forward to having a daughter, and I remember going to the birth and it was a boy. I thought, oh no, it's a boy. I'm disappointed. But about 2 minutes later, I said, oh, this son. And I start loving that boy from that point on. And it's amazing how God gives you the love for your children, isn't it? So that one's pretty easy. I think the one in the middle there, patience, is one that we often struggle with as a father. And again, some thoughts come back to my mind is when we were up in the Northern Territory being fathers to Aboriginal children, Aboriginal girls. And I remember that I lost my, I ran out of patience a few times with those girls. More so than with my own boys, I think. I can't remember really losing it with my own boys, but these girls had a way of pushing me as a father, not the real father, but as a father in the house, pushing me to the limit. I know a few times I really lost lost it and really needed to have more patience. Some of those other things, self-control, I guess, is part of that. But to have those fruits of the Spirit in your life and God enabling you to live those out as a father is a really positive thing. I know that we haven't got many young fathers here today. I guess most of us have been old fathers for a while and have learnt these things, but as a young father, it's worth remembering that we can trust God to be part of our life and to lean on Him to give us some of the skills that we need in fatherhood. Again, I don't know that we'll ever reach the best father, but certainly with God's help, we can start becoming the best father for our children. Okay, my fourth father. Fortunately, this is not going to go too long this morning. And my fourth father, I'm not sure whether you guessed who that is. Of course, that's God. And this morning we've already had some of the songs that talk about God's love for us. And we had, well, firstly, I'd like to say that God is the best father, definitely fits the best father role. He certainly is the model of a perfect father. So I'm going to give him the award for best father this morning. So we've opened up Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24, the prodigal son, which gives us a really good picture of God's love, the fatherly love. And I won't dwell on it very much because we all know the story. It's a picture of a father who has the two sons, and the son comes and asks for his inheritance. I'm not sure why that's not fully there, is it? Oh, the father gives his son what he asked for. So the son, one day the father's just standing there and the son comes up to him and said, "Oh, look, Dad, I've had a great idea. I know one day you're going to split up all your property here or your estate and you're going to give me half. You know, look, while I'm still young, I know you're probably going to be around for a few more years, but while you're still young, will you give me my share of it now so I can do something with it and kind of start my own life and go and enjoy life and have a few adventures?" And the father gives it to him. Now, I'm sure that father was probably thinking in his own mind, "Gee, I wish I didn't have to do this. I wish my son would stay with the estate and, you know, keep working with his other brother and doing all that." But his father decided to give it to him. So I guess that's part of the father's love, giving his son what the son wanted and giving the son the freedom to take what he thought he needed to do. Of course, the father longs for the son and the father's waiting for his son to return. I'm sure the day that the son walked out of the property and walked down the road with his pockets full of money or whatever it was, or credit cards, that the father was thinking, "Oh, I wonder what he's going to do with his life. I hope he does the right thing." And I'm sure the father looked up the road every day to see if his son was coming back. And you can imagine that, can't you? I mean, Jesus doesn't tell us for how long the father waited, but the father did every day wait for his son and think about his son. And finally his son came back. And one day he's looking up the road and there's his son coming down the road. So he runs up and gives him a hug. And the story finishes off with the father so happy and so full of joy that his son's come back. He's overlooked the fact that his son's basically thrown away all the inheritance. He's overlooked the fact that the son kind of gone a different way than his father would have. But his father's so overjoyed to have him back. And isn't that a great picture of a father's love? And certainly that's the picture we have of God for all of us. All of us have done our own thing at some part of our life. All of us have turned our back on God. And yet God's still looking out for us and wanting us to come back. And that's a really tremendous picture of the Father's love for us all. Okay, the other part of God being a father that I want to share with you this morning is out of Exodus chapter 34. And that's again where we get pictures of God and the sort of father that he is for all of us. In Exodus chapter 34 is when Moses is up Mount Sinai with the tablets of stone waiting for God to give him the Ten Commandments. I think the second time. And God says, "Look, I'm going to reveal myself to you, Moses. And I want you to hide in the cleft of the rock there as I walk, come past you." And of course, God is such a mighty power and being that none of us can actually kind of bear to be exposed to him. Not that we are as on earth today, but Moses was in this special position where God was going to come past him. And the things that happened. Obviously, there's a mighty presence of God. But the things that God said about himself as he came past, he was uttering things like that: compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And as we read through the Bible, we see these characteristics of God mentioned time and time again. But in this instance, God tells Moses, this is my character, this is part of my character. And he says other things, if you want to look up Exodus 34. And we know that God's compassionate, he cares about us. He shows when we're hurting, he knows what's happening to us, and he wants to help us through that. So he knows he's gracious. He gives us things that we don't deserve. He's poured out his love on us, and he's given us salvation. We know that we don't deserve that. He's slow to anger. Many times we fail God, and yet he allows us to come back and ask for repentance. And he's abounding in love, that same love that the father with the prodigal son had. He abounds in love. It's just not a little part of his life. He abounds in it. We talk about God is love. It's overwhelming and it's unconditional. God's other characters are a lot of other characters, of course. He's faithful and just, and he had a whole lot of other things that God is. But I just want to focus on those four this morning. So I'm not going to say a lot more than that. Fortunately, my voice is not going to hang out for that much longer anyway. So when we stop and think about fathers today, the best father, I want you to take away three things. And those are, firstly, as fathers, if you are the father, or if you become a father, we can do a lot better if we follow Jesus and allow God to be in our life. So I guess none of us are perfect as fathers. The three fathers who are up here before knew they weren't perfect. I'm not perfect as a father, and none of us are perfect as fathers, but we can always do better by allowing Jesus to work in our life and the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us as fathers. So that's a good thing that we can take away. The next one, of course, is if we do are disappointed by our fathers, we can have the very best father, and we can have God as our father. Just as the prodigal son came back and saw the father's love, we can accept God's love and we can become his children. And maybe not everyone's done that and is listening today, but I challenge you to actually accept God as your father and become one of his children by asking him to take that role in your life, admitting that we've missed the point, we've sinned against him, and asking for his forgiveness and asking him to be part of our life. So any one of us can do that, and I challenge you to do that if you haven't done it already. And the last point is, I think it's good to remember our dad today. I've tried to remember some of the positive things about the fathers in my life. Please remember some of the things. I know you can't, if your father's passed away, you can't share with him what's happened, but maybe there's other father figures in your life, particularly younger people. Please share with them some of the good things they've done for you today, and thank him today if you can. I'm going to pray. We're going to have another video, and then we'll wrap it up. So let's just pray for a second. Father, we just thank you this morning that we can think about fathers. We thank you, Lord, for the fathers that we have on earth here, ones that have done a lot of good things for us. We just thank you for them. Help us to share with them today, if we have the opportunity, share the good things and to thank them for what they've done. Lord, we just think of those who've lost their fathers or their fathers went missing in their lives. We just pray too, Lord, that you'd fill that gap. Help us to find peace and rest in you as a Heavenly Father. Pray that you'd fill that gap in our lives. Help us to find others that would fill that gap. Father, as we look to you as a Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for those characteristics that you have, that you're gracious, loving, compassionate. We just thank you for those. We thank you that you can be part of our life. Help us to trust you. Help us to give our lives fully to you. Think of those who don't know you, Lord. We just pray that they would open up their hearts to follow you as well. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity we have today to think about these things, and we ask for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.